How does one experience the Sabbath as a gift instead of a test? Welcome to The Good Word. I'm Alden Thompson from the Walla Walla University School of Theology, your host for this series of studies on education. We are back to our full discussion format after many weeks of monologues. My conversation partners are Dave Thomas and Brant Berglund, both from the Walla Walla University School of Theology. And our theme for this week is Sabbath, experiencing and living the character of God. But I'd like to go back to that opening question. As an Adventist, I grew up where Sabbath is considered to be a test. I've wondered, how can we make the transition from seeing the Sabbath as a test to experience it as a gift of God to be enjoyed? Help me out.
It may function as a test at some level, but it may be only a test in the sense that, have we caught on to what it's truly about? The Sabbath, if I look at creation, and then I look at the Ten Commandments, and then I look at Isaiah 58, and you have some of these passages in your study guide, and I look at how Jesus used the Sabbath all the way through Scripture, and I'm not talking about Adventist culture or Jewish culture, but just in Scripture, the Sabbath is a day of beauty, a day of rest, a day of delight. I don't find anywhere that there's a long list of commands of what to do. It's a rather short list of things not to do. And that short list is, don't work, set aside those burdens of the week. And then Jesus and Paul made it a custom to go into the synagogue on the Sabbath and spend time with each other and praising God, and in Jesus is in nature. It seems to me that if we went just off Scripture and let aside some of our traditions, we might find the Sabbath is a lot more of a joy than we've sometimes made it.
Coming back to your statement there about the short list of prohibitions, Harold Macmillan was famous for having said that the Sabbath was the first worker protection act in history. Yeah. Because it's not only for you, but that your slaves and your animals may rest as well as you. And so that's an important thing.
Alden, I'm interested in your opening question, because I grew up where the Sabbath was a day that was not primarily seen as a test, but rather it was a day to be boxed in by many rules. But it was to be an experience more than it was a test. And so I've always thought of the Sabbath as both a time period and an experience that's supposed to unfold in as both of those. And the test thing came later in my life.
Well, I think the test aspect comes more from Adventist theology, where it's a testing truth. I never really experienced that. And I suppose all of us who've grown up in the Adventist church have tussled with the question of what is appropriate Sabbath behavior.
Yeah.
And I have a couple of very vivid memories. I remember a Pathfinder outing up to Puffer's Butte, that had, were the Pathfinders. We went up the top and we hiked up there, and here was this long slope that went down to the Grand Ronde River. And there were a number of rocks loose on the top. And once we got started, we couldn't quit, and we rolled every single rock that we could find off that. And there was a fence line down there too. And every once in a while, one of those rocks would go through and it'd bounce, you know, and so on. But I still have some lingering guilt. I didn't think that was appropriate Sabbath keeping at that point.
It was too much fun to have on the Sabbath?
Yeah, perhaps. Now, there's another verse in the Old Testament I think that in general has to do with law and how we relate to it. It's Deuteronomy 4, 5 to 8. And I'll just read a few lines here, because this is Moses who is saying that the law God gave to them is great good news. It's such good news that even the people around about them would say, wow, this is amazing. Let me just read it for you. Deuteronomy 4, 5 to 8. See, just as the Lord my God has charged me, I now teach you statutes and ordinances for you to observe in the land that you're about to enter and occupy. You must observe them diligently, for this will show your wisdom and discernment to the peoples, who, when they hear all these statutes, will say, surely this great nation is a wise and discerning people. For what other great nation has a God so near to it as the Lord our God is whenever we call to him? And what other great nation has statutes and ordinances as just as this entire law that I am setting before you today? Really excited about the good side of the laws and what it had done. And that reminds me of a of an anecdote told by Bev Beam, one of our colleagues here, when she was in grad school. Friday afternoon, she and several students were working there, and she started putting her things away, and they said, "What are you doing?" And she says, "I'm getting ready for the Sabbath. My religion forbids me to work on the Sabbath." And there was a touch of envy from these students as they realized that here was a way of saying, this is special time. You're not allowed to work.
What other gods of other nations would say that and actually encourage people not to work when so many religions are based on work?
Yeah.
And this is a sense that, no, by resting, I actually let God take care of me on that day. It's really an act of faith, if you think about it. I mean, I've heard people say the Sabbath is legalistic. Well, no, true Sabbath rest, true Sabbath keeping is about trusting God completely to take care of me on that day.
And Olin, you remind me here on Friday night, like after Vespers on this campus in the days when we could have it, there's kind of a collective joy and a relief that nobody's under the gun to be producing work tonight. We can visit till 11 o'clock if we want. We can go out to the bonfire. There's just a joy and an exuberance that I don't find on other evenings.
That's very true. And I've always felt sorry for students who felt that they needed to study on Sabbath.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's a tragic loss.
It is.
Because they don't have that sacred holiday that God has given them.
Alden, can I say a word about that holiday? I remember an Adventist evangelist saying that the Bible calls the Sabbath a holy day, not a holiday. And yet, when I think about those things that make holidays like Thanksgiving or Christmas the most special, it's when I'm with my friends and family in special ways. And those are the aspects, I think, of Sabbath that should be carried over from secular holidays, certainly to Sabbath as well.
Yes. Time for family fellowship and fellowship with God, to be
absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely.
And eating good food.
Eating good food, absolutely.
And sitting around the dinner table and talking and talking and talking till the sun goes down.
Till the sun comes up. Yes, that's right.
No.
Now, I want us to take a look at the two different versions of the Sinai Decalogue, because they deal with the Sabbath really quite differently. In Exodus 20... the Sabbath is a memorial of creation, whereas in Deuteronomy 5, it's a memorial of redemption. What can we make about those two different perspectives? Is there ways of finding them complementary, helpful?
Oh, I certainly think they're complementary, and you could even say that they memorialize the crucifixion, even though there's not a text about that. Yeah. But yeah, I think those are not, I mean... the memorializing of creation establishes the ownership, if I can put that word, of God. The one in Deuteronomy 5 reflects on God's saving activity, and I think the two of them can very nicely go together.
Yeah. Now, it does cause problems for those who want to be very literalistic in reading the Bible, because the Ten Commandments were written by God's finger. But they're different. So which one did he write with his finger? See.
Well, and what about Nehemiah and the Sabbath?
Yes. Nehemiah was a very vigorous one. Cursed some and beat some and pulled out their hair.
Yeah, which commandment was he reacting to there?
But there's a congruence also when we read the book of Revelation. Chapters 4 and 5 picture a throne room, and God, the one seated on the throne, is worthy of worship by the four living creatures, the 24 elders, and the myriad of angels, because he created the world. In chapter 5, the Lamb, the conquering lion Lamb, comes and joins the one seated on the throne, and he's praised and worshiped because of his act of redemption. And so those two features of creation and redemption are really the center points of the character of God, who he is and what he does. He's creative and he's forgiving and redeeming. And those two aspects are why he's worthy of our worship in Revelation, in contradistinction to the dragon, the devil, the beast. Man-made worship, only God can create and only God can redeem. That's why he's worthy of our praise.
Good. Now, I'd like to come to the New Testament again. And this time, a famous verse, Mark 2:27-28, where Jesus had come under some fire because he had healing on the Sabbath. And Jesus said, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. What do we make of that particular command? Had the people around Jesus in Jesus' day missed the right application of the Sabbath, and so he came as a corrective?
The Jews in Jesus' day believed that God himself was bound by Torah, that is, that God himself must rest on the Sabbath, that the law bound the hands of the Creator. Jesus came along to say the Sabbath was given as a gift to humanity. Humanity was not created after the Sabbath, but they were created before it, and it was given to them afterwards.
I've always understood the first part of that verse, that the Sabbath was made for man. I've always wondered what man made for the Sabbath would look like.
You know, there's kind of a wicked, well, wicked's too strong a word, but a New Testament scholar pointed this out, and I've never been able to find it in print. But the verse actually in Mark 2 says, "For the Son of Man is Lord also the Sabbath." Well, the word Son of Man in Aramaic is the word for human being. So one could say that man is Lord of the Sabbath.
Human beings are Lord of the Sabbath.
Yeah, because it's based there for our particular good. John Brunt's little book, Day for Healing, is an amazing little book. He showed out how there are at least five of Jesus' Sabbath miracles were specifically to teach them that it was a day for doing good, for blessing others, day for healing. And if we look at the Jesus healing miracles on the Sabbath, it's really quite intriguing. One other aspect, we've touched on this, but in our standard study guide, they pointed out that the Sabbath is a time for community. And they gave several different passages in the book of Acts. But let's talk about that in terms of our time today. And maybe we should talk about what happens on Sabbath now that we're Zooming Sabbath schools instead of meeting in place. But
well, no, I think we're social beings, and you know, I hear all the time how people miss the interaction with others. And I mean, just even the dialogue, even seeing other people, let alone touching somebody or being touched by somebody, we're all becoming unwell because of our isolation. And so a sense of community is very enlivening for humans and very good for our well-being.
Yeah. There's one passage in the Old Testament. We have just 1 minute left, according to our timekeeper. And that is where it says it calls the Sabbath a delight, Isaiah 58. But the King James translation there is a bit misleading. It says, from doing thy own pleasure on the Sabbath, yet call the Sabbath a delight, which seems to be a bit of a tension. Can either of you help me out on that?
The phrase, thine own pleasure, seems to be in the context, and I think your study guide brought out that the people of Israel were fighting among themselves, trying to make their own living, and doing your own pleasure means making your own way, rather than calling the Sabbath a delight and a rest. So that's how I've made sense of it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, our time is up. I want to thank Rick Baskett, who has served as our program engineer, and Dave and Brant for their help with our conversation. Thank you to all of you for listening in. For the Good Word, I'm Alden Thompson.
You've been listening to Good Word, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week at this time with Good Word.